Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 216. It's the week of November 23rd, 2015. I'd like to thank you for coming along. If you're a new listener, I'd like to welcome you to the show. I am a regular, middle-of-the-pack, ordinary nobody who likes to compete in half marathons, marathons, and ultra marathons in Central Virginia. And I live in Ashland, Virginia, which is affectionately known by locals as the center of the universe, thus the name of the podcast. If you're a returning listener, thanks for coming back, giving me another try. The podcast is mainly just to kind of hold myself accountable with some of the distance events that I like to do. And that's kind of the only sport that I play, which is running, because I've gotten good at it, which means I usually finish. In fact, I haven't had any DNFs yet, but I know one's on the horizon at some point, specifically for the long stuff. So what I'm training for now is a 50-miler on March 5th. Called the Mississippi Trail 50, and got news recently that I'll be traveling down there with my good friend John Snuggs, whose nickname is Snuggy Bear. He's part of my original marathon training group going back to 2006. We call ourselves Team Incognito. That's a story for another day, how we got that name, but it's kind of turned into more of a virtual running group at this point. Exchanging messages online. We have a Facebook group, that kind of stuff. Every now and then we get together and do a run around a holiday or something. And I do miss those guys. Been a real good core group that really got me into the sport and running longer distances and having fun doing it. And the camaraderie that you have when you have a running group and then you kind of hang out socially, you know, men and women. It's a lot of fun, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Running with my Team Incognito group did a relay several years ago called the Colonial 200, where it was 200 miles through Central Virginia, and I got to say that's probably the most fun you can have with other adults with your clothes on. Both genders. I'm not sure how that came out, but I've said that before, and it's usually been pretty fun. I always make myself laugh when I say that. I ran the Richmond Half Marathon back on November 14th and had just a great time. Really, really enjoyed it. The weather was perfect. My finishing time was 2:08:18, which is a good finishing time for my fat ass. I'm like 212 pounds, 5'11", and don't carry it too well. So that's a very good finishing time for me, especially since the last couple half marathons I've been running. I guess they've been in the heat, finishing around 2:20. So my splits, the 10K split was right at a 10-minute pace, and then the finishing split, when we got texted in messages, was 9:47. So I guess you could say I ran a negative splits. I didn't have my mile splits on my Garmin. For some reason, that didn't work out, but I usually don't check those anyway. But in this case, I was interested because I did feel stronger at the end, and really just had a great time. A couple funny things did happen that I'll have to mention. Rode down with a good local friend, Ashland Tom. He was very gracious to not only pick me up and take me down for packet pickup, but he also picked me up for the morning of the race. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know that I've talked about Tom quite a bit. And he paced the 4:15 marathon group for, I think, the seventh or eighth year in a row here at the Richmond Marathon. And this was the first time I did one of the events associated with the Richmond Marathon that was not the marathon itself. I think I've run that one five times. This was the first time running the half marathon. And so I was pretty excited about that just going into it. And going back a little bit, there was a couple podcasts ago I had, I think it was called New Training Group. I ran with a group out of the West End of Richmond for a while, and then I just quit the group. I usually don't quit anything. I didn't quit running. I quit that group. I didn't. Things weren't really jiving. There was a couple people from Team Incognito there, but that kind of showed up intermittently, and it just wasn't becoming a reliable thing for me that was kind of inspiring me. So I kind of came back to my grassroots group that kind of always puts together stuff Thursday and Friday evening, about Saturday morning. And matter of fact, I'm recording this on a Friday. I'm actually headed to I'm on the highway right now, headed down to Charlotte. I'll talk about that in a minute. But I got a text while I was driving from Ashland Tom, or it was from Ashland Brian, wanting to know who was running tomorrow. So in true style, here it is. It's actually 11:30 a.m. on the Friday before a group was trying to get together. And here, you know, once again, we're trying to put things together. But I did I went back to that same group and was able to get in some really good double-digit runs, very prepared, high mileage weeks for a half marathon. You know, I was doing 30 miles a week, which is really, you don't need to do that much to complete a half marathon. But I think the high mileage helped me because it prepared me for race day. I was strong. Tom picks me up pretty early. Yeah, the marathon and the half marathon start about 15 minutes apart in the same general area in downtown Richmond. And so we kind of hung around, and unfortunately, we could not find a free parking deck because the police had some of the roads blocked off a little bit differently. So we went into a paid lot and then had to wait in line for about 20 minutes just to pay, because it was one of these automatic marquees. And while we were doing that, there was a guy sitting in his car, and his car alarm kept going off, you know, right next to the line. And it was pretty loud and annoying and kind of a nuisance. And he got out once. He was clearly a runner. He had running clothes on. And got out once and closed the door, trying to lock it or something, and it kept going off. And you could tell he was embarrassed. And so I asked him, I said, "Do you have any tools?" And he said, he didn't know what I was saying. And so I said it again. I said, "Do you have any tools?" And again, he didn't understand what I was saying. So he kind of walked over to me. I said, "Do you have any tools, like a wrench? We can disconnect your battery. At least that way you can leave your car here and you can connect it back after your race." And he had a British, he had some kind of British accent, maybe Australian. And he didn't understand what I was saying. And, you know, I live in Virginia. Everybody understood what I was saying. I mean, and so I was telling my wife about it, and she said, "Well, you were saying the word tools in two syllables, and that's why he didn't understand you." So that was pretty funny. So what Tom told him to do was to lock the, he didn't have his key fob, apparently. He didn't even know what a fob was. We were asking him, "Where's your fob?" He said, "What's a fob?" And I almost said, "What planet are you from?" You know? So as it turns out, Tom told him to lock the door with your key, and that ended up turning it off. So Tom was a little bit of a temporary hero there, at least while we were waiting in line. And it was cold, so I think it was 39 degrees, 40 degrees right when we got down there. I think that's what my when I looked up the weather when I got up that morning. So as a result of that, I had the opportunity to get rid of a couple shirts that have been hanging in my closet for 2 years, and specifically one that my wife Monica had told me that one needed to be retired to the side of the road after the marathon started. So I went down, I had a like this kind of this hacky dress shirt that I used to wear. I wore it a few times. It never really worked out with anything I had. So I had that on, and then I had a flannel. I liked the flannel shirt, but Monica didn't like it. So I had two long sleeve button up shirts on, with some dollar gloves that I got up at the little mom and pop grocery store here in the center of the universe. And a hat, which was like $2 at that same grocery store. They got a little bin in there where they got some cheap stuff. And I knew I was going to buy stuff and just toss it in the gutter. So I was able to contribute. So I wonder if I'll see any less fortunate folks walking around with that tacky ass shirt on. So get to the start, and I'm seeing nobody that I know. I know a lot of runners in Richmond, and I was very surprised that I did not see anybody down there. I mean, the Richmond Half Marathon's got a several thousand participants. The half does, and it generally has sold out. I saw one girl, Jill, waiting in line for the Port-a-Johns. I did not find Bob and another guy in our group, another guy named Tom. I was kind of looking for them, but they're in a different wave. And then right about the time the race started, I saw Michelle Clore, who was from my original Team Incognito group. And finding her turned out to be an excellent situation for me, because she started off having me at a 10-minute pace, and I kept her slow because she was going for a 2:02, I think, which was her personal record, personal best. And I was just, you know, running to finish. I got this ultra marathon I'm training for. Actually, I'm going to do one on January 10th called Willis River Trail Runs. Maybe I'll talk about that at the end of the show if I remember. Yeah, I got this little 50K I got to do before my 50 miler. So finally, hooking up with Michelle just turned out to be an excellent situation for me, because she got me started at a little quicker pace than I was planning on, and I ended up staying with that because I wanted to talk to her. I hadn't seen her in a while. She kind of fell off the grid a little bit from her just running when she had her second child, and but she's back, and boy, she was back with a vengeance, because she got her, I think she got her personal best. I think she came in under 2:02. I saw her at the end, because I came in obviously a few minutes after her. So hooking up with her proved to be really good for me, because after we split, I maintained, because she picked it up a little bit after 3 miles. She just didn't want to go out really fast. So I saw her later. She thanked me for that, and I said, well, thank you for getting me out going a little quicker than I had hoped, because I was able to achieve a really good finishing time for myself today. So as the course of the race went on, I just kept plowing through. I didn't take any. I didn't do my walk run intervals that I will be doing for the ultra. I ran the whole thing, with the exception of one bathroom break, and then a refill on my water bottle. Other than that, I ran the whole time, which resulted in being pretty freaking sore the next day and into Monday. But that's farther down my list of stuff here. And part of this course runs through Bryan Park, which is a city park in Richmond. Just beautiful. This park has a lot of people. What they'll do, it's got closed roads in it, but they open up the roads when the azaleas bloom, because it's just so beautiful in there with all the mature azalea bushes, just huge, and there's so many of them. But I had not run through Bryan Park since Monica and I lived down in the historic Fan District in Richmond. We used to own a house down there. And at that time, it was before we had a child, and we had, of course, our two dogs, Basil and Otis. Great dogs, two black labs. And we would take them over to Bryan Park almost every evening, maybe sometimes every other day, and just, run them, wear them out. And we would run over there, sometimes together, sometimes separately. And if you didn't see anybody around, you could let the dogs run off the leash, and they would, they'll come back to you. Well, one time I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I'm going to tell this quick story. Basil was the older black lab, and that dog could run forever, it seemed. And she wasn't, I think I might have even told this story before. I'm going to tell it again just because I just remember the feeling of when we found her. Anyway. Basil was not the most affectionate dog, but she was loyal. She went through obedience training. She was very good in obedience school. Learned to walk. Once she quit pulling on the leash, Monica had a lot of problems with her getting nipped by the dog. The dog would bite Monica a lot, just kind of nip at her. Dog didn't bother me. But anyway, we took both dogs to the park, and then Otis was just, the kind of dog would just lick you until you told him to stop. I mean, he was just total, complete definition of unconditional love, when you get close to a dog. Well, the both dogs ran off. They usually always came back to us. Otis came back, and Basil never came back, and so we were kind of looking around for her. And we decided to go back to the car because we didn't really know what to do. And, this is like 20 minutes of not knowing where your dog's at. And this is a big city park. It's wooded, it's not a big field or anything like that. Well, there was Basil sitting next to the car. She was waiting on us. Who was lost, us or her? So that was kind of a funny story, and it just makes me think positive thoughts about that dog. We had to put her down a couple of years ago, and I was the one that took her to the vet, and I took her to McDonald's and got her two hamburgers in the drive-thru before we took her to the vet. So, gosh, this thing about that dog just almost tears me up a little bit. Well, so getting back to the half marathon, I can't believe I went on that tangent. As you can see, I really love my dogs. The half marathon goes through Bryant Park. Hadn't run there in a long time, and I absolutely loved that loop through there. It was really cool, and that takes you right to about the halfway mark, and that's where I was. So at the 10K, I was right around just over an hour, so it was a 10-minute pace, and I thought to myself, man, if I could just maintain this, I'm going to have a pretty good day for today. So we get out of the park, and going down a stretch on... Oh, you know what? This was before the park, actually, is when I saw this guy running in jeans and street shoes. I thought it was really weird. At first, I thought he was a spectator that was trying to catch up to maybe a runner that he was following. And as it turns out, he was running the race because I think he was because he, at one point, I was kind of following him. He passed me. He's wearing blue jeans, carrying a jacket. Wearing some kind of sweater, like it looked like some kind of thin sweater, and brown leather shoes. It was, I thought he was trying to catch up to a runner until we passed a water stop, and he went over to the table and got water, and my first thought was, man, this guy's stealing water if he's not running a race. But then he kept running, and he did. He ran into, he's running on the course and followed him into Bryant Park, and then he got too far ahead of me, and I lost him. And I thought, why would you come out and run that far in blue jeans and, you know, I call them street shoes, you know, not running shoes, but shoes you wear out, you know, when you're out and like wearing khakis or something. You know, if I was thinking, well, maybe if he flew into Richmond to run this and he forgot his running stuff, surely I would think that he would have had some shorts. I mean, I just can't imagine running in jeans. Doesn't make much sense to me. But then at the same time, there were three Richmond police officers that ran the whole half marathon in all their police gear, I think to bring awareness to a charity that they were supporting. And in case you're wondering how much that is, it's about 22 to 25 pounds of stuff that officers carry with them on their body. I just happen to know that. All right, so get to the finish line. This is the finish line of the Richmond Marathon, in my opinion, is awful. It's a steep downhill. Now there's a... Oh, let me back up. I ran into my brother out there. My brother's not a runner. He's a smoker. He lives in downtown Richmond. He's got an apartment down there. He's 44 years old. And I was hurting. I was here towards the end. I think it was between miles, like maybe 11 to 12. Might have been past 12. I don't exactly remember where. I know I was on Gray Street, and it was before the downhill decline going to the finish line. I saw him, and I called out his name, and he came out and ran with me for probably three-quarters of a mile. And I was actually kind of surprised. I was just, you know, what are the chances of seeing... I hadn't talked to him in a long time. Not as close as we used to be. I didn't really ought to change that. And so I called out his name, and he ran right into the street with me, and we ran for a little bit, and it was just really weird to, of all places, run into my brother out on the half marathon course. So, yeah, sore big time on Sunday. After the half marathon, got home, found Ash and Bob. He gave me a ride back. I mean, again, just really lucky that people gave me a ride, so I didn't have to bring a car down there. And Monica was doing something else, so, and she's kind of been, it's going to sound really bad, but I kind of banned her from coming to races with me. And she knows why. Maybe we can reconcile that at some point in time. But and I think I might have told that in a podcast before. I think she got mad at me. She started listening to the podcast again. I guess having her down at the half marathon finish wouldn't have been so bad. But she had something else going on, and just wasn't. We weren't able to coordinate that. So I was really fortunate to get a ride back. So yeah. So we get back and, you know, get cleaned up, take a shower, and head on over to the off the rails beer festival. which we could walk to. It was held at the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. This is a huge fundraiser. It's for the it's called the HAC, Hanover Arts and Activity Center. I used to be on the I did two terms on the board there. And met a lot of cool people. That's where I was the race director for the Ashland Railroad Run, which is a 10K. Did that for 4 years. If you ever want an experience, be a race director. That's you really learn to coordinate stuff and put a lot of trust in other people. Of course, I've done podcasts in the past about that as well, and kind of broke it down. Anyway, we walked up to the beer festival, and We were volunteering from 4 to 6. The whole festival was 2 to 8. And I thought we were volunteering 2 to 4. Found out a day or so before that it was actually 4 to 6. And in hindsight, I'm kind of glad because that gave me some more time to chill out horizontally on the sofa after the half marathon, which is where I spent a couple hours horizontal on the sofa. And then I moved over to my magic chair and spent the rest of the afternoon until it was time to head on up. So we went up about 20 minutes early so we could get a beer before we started our volunteer shift, because they told us that the people who were organizing it said that if you're pouring beers, you're not supposed to be consuming beers. However, this was kind of funny. However, what happened was the representatives from each, this was a like craft beers, you know, all the, that's the trendy thing right now. And we were at, oh man, I can't even remember which one we were at. It'll come to me. Oh, Star Hill out of Charlottesville, Virginia. And the representative there had encouraged us to sample. He said, "Well, how can you pour these beers for people? Because they had two of their beers on the cold plate there. How can you pour these beers and for these people if you don't know what they taste like?" So we had to have some kind of repeated tastings, and that really led into a full-blown drink fest come 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock once our volunteer shift was over. And it gotten dark at that point, but they brought these spotlights in and there was a band. I didn't really think the band was that good, but definitely ended up having maybe one too many of the high alcohol content beers. And we got some food from a food truck, stumbled home and sat in front of the TV and ate our food truck food. I had some kind of quesadilla. It was pretty good. And our daughter was out. She was out at a sleepover event with a club she's involved in. And so I think I half fell asleep there watching TV. And I think I was in bed by 8:30. And then got up and ran 7 the next day because I'm doing these, supposed to be doing these double runs on the weekend. This weekend will be an exception because I'm going out of town. So, yeah, got up Sunday morning, the day after the half marathon, ran on sore legs, which is not really a good thing to do normally. However, you know, I'm training my body to run on depleted, sore, tore up legs for when I do that 50 miler. So boy, I was sore, and that went right into Monday at work. Started up some new shoes. I bought two pairs of the Ultra Olympus. And I tell you, when I ran the half marathon in the old shoes because the new ones hadn't arrived yet. And when I ran, I think it wasn't the Sunday. It was, I think, a Monday or, I think it was Monday, maybe Tuesday of this. No, I didn't run Monday. It was Tuesday of this week. I ran in the new shoes. And, man, you talk about a total difference. It really is a big difference when you go from a shoe that's totally gotten flat on you to one that's really got a lot of spring in its step. And I felt good. I had a great run earlier this week. And then the second run of the week wasn't so good. So let me back up to that 7 miler I did after the beer festival, because I was hungover during that run, and the first step was just getting out of the bed, and then the second was getting on my running gear, and then the third was getting out the door. And that was hurting. I mean, I was hurting that day. Not real bad, but I will say when I was done, I wasn't hurting anymore. Not my head. I've always said a good cure for a hangover is a 6-7 mile run. Hardest part's getting out of the bed. All right, let me talk a little bit about the 50K that I'm going to do on January 10th. It's a free race. It used to be called Swinging Bridge 50K with 35K option. And I ran that in 2009. That was my first race beyond the marathon mark. So that was my first ultra. Did that with Ashland Tom. That was a tough day for me. It was very cold. Again, I think I mentioned this before. -1 Fahrenheit at the start, which is very cold for Virginia. We don't see stuff that cold in Virginia. I finished that in over 7 hours. I finished, but boy, it was tough. And I remember on the ride home, I was shivering. I couldn't warm up. And you had to pay for it back then, but you got a cool shirt, and it was a cheap race. But now it has switched to what's called the Willis River Trail Runs, and it's still 50K, but apparently now it's free. They just want to know who's coming. So I'm not really sure. I guess so they'll just know how many people are going to be there, and I think you have to bring your own aid. I'm not sure. It's not called a fat ass. Anyway, Ashland Tom has asked me if I want to do that, and so I'm interested in that. And I'll probably do it because I know that course. It's a trail. It's not overly technical. It's hilly. And it's got roots, so I will definitely be hitting the deck like I have before. You know, when you least expect it, you hit the deck. That's my plan. Because the program that I'm loosely following for the 50-miler strongly encourages you to do a 50K and in an event that's supported, because it's really hard to run, you know, 50 kilometers on your own in a training run by yourself. At least it would be for me, because I kind of get bored with myself. I know that's pretty sad to say, but you do. You kind of get bored. You kind of need something out there, you know, finish line or whatever. So that's the plan. That is January 10th, and I guess I'll coordinate with Tom, and we'll figure out a way to make sure we have fuel for our bodies during the event. And we would likely run that together regardless of how slow I am. Tom's pretty good about that kind of stuff. He likes the, you know, the companionship on the trail is pretty cool. And then that should springboard me into March 5th for my trip down to Mississippi. And obviously we'll continue to talk about that in each podcast leading up to that, and then probably the one after that when I do a recap. So let me mention my trip to Charlotte here before we get into the email bag section of the show. I've been in my car now for quite some time. I think I'm in North Carolina. I'm not sure. I am in North Carolina now. I just don't remember seeing the state line sign, whatever. I'm going down to visit a college friend of mine. We are fraternity brothers in college, and probably my best friend. His name is Rob. The reason I say probably my best friend is because I've got another real good best friend named Lummox, so I've kind of got two best friends. These are guys that I go to bluegrass festivals with. We do a yearly trip every year with a larger group of our guys from our fraternity from college. And so I've known Rob since 1989, and I guess that's 26 years, I think, if that's... So that's a long time to know somebody, and... I'm the godfather of his younger son, and that boy now is in 10th grade, and he's being confirmed into the Catholic Church, and I've been asked to be his confirmation sponsor, which is a huge honor, a big honor, and so I'm happy to drive it's a 5-hour drive from the center of the universe to Charlotte. So I'm happy to do that just for two nights. I took today off from work, driving down. We'll stay tonight. The ceremony is tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. And then I'll stay Saturday night. We'll visit with his family. And then I'll come back Sunday. The trade-off is that I'm going to be likely missing my daughter marching in a holiday parade. She's in the marching band, plays the sousaphone. Got this small 14-year-old girl that carries a, you know, tuba wrapped around her body. But she's gotten pretty good at it, and she likes it a lot. So I'm probably going to miss that. There'll be another stuff. It's just too hard for me to drive back. And that's the reason why the whole family was invited down to Rob's house. And the reason the whole family is not going is because she's got that event. And that's a big deal for her, so she doesn't want to miss that. So I'll have to watch that on video. But, you know, it's just reflecting on old friendships. You know, if you, at least for me, I've kind of, I look across the spectrum of the people that I know and the people that I've known a long time and who I still stay in touch with. Sometimes that, when you do that analysis or kind of that survey, sometimes it kind of surprises you a little bit. And you got, when you look at the kind of people that you do stay in touch with and why. And you want to take advantage of when you have friends in places that you know and that you stay in touch with. A couple of years back, I used to go down and do the Charlotte Ultra, and I would drive down on a Friday, stay near the start of the race, and then run the race, and then Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, I'll go visit Rob at his house with his family, and then come home Sunday. That was usually Super Bowl weekend. Kind of missed that race. So I don't know where I'm going with this. What I'm saying is, I think it's at least for me, it's wise for me to take advantage of, and not take advantage of your friends, but to seize opportunities when they present themselves to do races in different parts of the country where you know people, where they can, you know, you can either stay with them or you can have a meal with them, visit with them. You know, if you do an ultra, you might need a crew, someone to run with in the race. All kinds of stuff, all kinds of advantages there when you know folks. And so I've decided that's what I'm going to do. So my big race for 2016 is Mississippi Trail 50. Who knows if I'll do another one later that year. I really did like the Croatan 24. And then so I'm already thinking about 2017. You know, just plans in my head. I know that's pretty far out. But that's what life's all about, right? Planning and doing cool stuff and hanging out with people. So that came to mind. I just wanted to mention that. So I got this. I'm driving down to Charlotte, and I figured I'll do my podcast while I'm driving, which I thought would be pretty easy. But it's a little harder than I thought because there's freaking construction here. I'm now on Interstate 85, and it's down to one lane, and I'm not making a whole lot of headway here. So Rob was expecting me around 4 o'clock because he took today off. He had some car trouble or something. He had to take his car to the shop. So he said I went ahead and it's about a 5-hour drive, and I'm hoping to get down there by 4. And it is a boring trip. It is a boring trip. There's not much on Interstate 85 until you get down into like Concord. And I'll have to check my directions. He lives on the south side of Charlotte. So once you get to Charlotte, it's still another 45 minutes or something like that. Well, let's get into the email bag section of the show. We will be headed back to the studio for that, and see you on the other side. All right, I'm back in my podcast studio here in the center of the universe. Got home safely from my trip, 5 hours. Turns out, actually, it was 5.5. Turns out there was an accident on Interstate 85. They closed the interstate. They were detouring everything off, and I was able to escape without driving illegally, and I was able to get back on Route 1 and get back on the interstate farther north. So let's look at the email bag here. I got a whole bunch, which is cool, which always brings, this is my favorite part of the podcast because there's always new material to talk about, to go off on new tangents, which I love going off on tangents. And so some people just kind of checked in. Some of the conversations are a little dated here. Of course, heard from Marisa. She's a new listener to the show. Total blast from the past with her. This is a person I met many years ago on a road trip, a college road trip, and we've reconnected, and it's weird. She's a marathoner, and she lives, and I'm going to talk about where she lives in Michigan related to some other people I know in Michigan, and that's why this thing is just so, this whole coincidence with people in Michigan all of a sudden connecting to me in Virginia. I'm going to have to talk about it here in a second. So I'll get to that in a minute when I get to, I think I got Sandy's email in here somewhere. So Thomas Mueller checked in, and Thomas, you'll find it interesting to know that the trip that I've been talking about in the podcast here, my friend Rob, his son has applied to Appalachian State where you teach. So that would be really weird if he gets in there, decides to go there, and then somehow he's one of your students. That would be really, really interesting. So yeah, that'd be cool. Heard from a new listener. I don't know if he's a new listener. He's a new
first-time caller, I guess. First time he checked in by email. A guy named Jeff. I can't really pronounce his last name. I think he's from Philly, but I'm not sure. He did the Richmond Marathon, and he was interested in going to the beer festival afterwards, so I sent him the address. He wanted to know if there was going to be a meetup of podcast listeners at the marathon, and I was very flattered with him saying that. And I told him I thought about doing something like that before, but I didn't think anybody would show up. So it was kind of funny that that he mentioned that. And I said, Jeff, I'm glad you listened to the show. I think you said you ran the Philadelphia Marathon, or you said you were from Philadelphia. I must have discarded one of your other emails, and I've just got the one where you asked me for the address to the hack. So send me an email back. Let me know where you hail from, and I'll make sure I put that in the show. Heard from John Snuggs. He did the. I was trying to find out. I'm trying to find a travel partner for my. I'm looking all the way to 2017 Michigan, to a 2017 Michigan trip. And I talked about it before. I think I might have talked earlier, either this show or last. Why? Well, I know people up there now, and they all seem to live in the same area, and there's several races up there, and it makes no sense to not go somewhere where I know people, which I just mentioned a little earlier in the podcast about taking advantage and seizing those opportunities. Well, so I'm trying to see if John Snuggs is interested in traveling up there, and I think he probably will, because he is all about traveling and doing marathons. And he's going down to the Mississippi Trail with me. And just to kind of remind the listeners, the reason I'm going down there is because my cousin has invited me down there. So I know somebody down there. Plus, that's really that my family's roots are all from Mississippi on my mom's side of the family, which is the side of the family that we kind of mostly identified with kind of cultural stuff. But on my dad's side of the family, there's some European influences, which are kind of interesting because his sister lived in Italy and raised her two sons over there. And so there's a lot of contact. That's all family stuff. Nobody's interested in that. But did hear from Snuggy Bear. And John, we will have, I think you still listen to the show. I'm not sure if you do, but I am waiting to hear from my dad to see if he is going to make the trip and be my crew at the Mississippi Trail 50. He's kind of giving me the runaround a little bit, so I'm starting to think that I might be a solo runner. And I know you, same with you. So we might just have to bring all our own gear and figure out a way to do it on our own and then get on a plane and fly home, which I will say, flying home on a plane after running an ultra is probably the worst thing you can do to yourself, because it's just so tight on those damn planes. All right, so we're hoping to hear from here's Jeff. I'm sorry, I got another one from him. He was wiped out after it. He did give me his number. He's coming in from Philly, so I guess that's where he's from. And he said he skipped the beer festival altogether. He said he had a disappointing day, but it was an awesome race. He was very impressed with the coordination, course, and volunteers. He likes the mid-sized races. He would recommend it to anyone. Hope it went well for you. That's really cool for you to say, Jeff, and I appreciate that because, you know, Richmond's the world is the, I think it's their motto is the country's most friendly, you know, the friendliest marathon. And, you know, we're all about Southern hospitality here in the South, and especially in Richmond. But, you know, what's funny is that I actually know I'm not a good host personally, but I like the idea of being a good host. Does that make any sense? I just know that I'm not really a good host. My wife's a good host, but I know I'm not a good host. So he missed the race, or missed the beer festival, and let's see, he was on point for a 3:30 marathon through mile 16, didn't feel great at any point, was okay, slowed down to get water, and bam, couldn't breathe, said it scared him. Every time you run for a minute, struggle again to breathe. After that, it was survival mode and try to finish, run, walk. It was all he could manage, broke 4 hours, but not by much, and he said at least he wasn't sore afterwards. So, yeah, I'm just kind of curious, Jeff, you know, what your age is, how many marathons you've done. You know, just kind of some of the basic stuff. Just kind of trying to get an idea of some of the merit, you know, what you've done. And I hope you like the show and appreciate the emails, certainly. Appreciate you taking the time to do all that, of course. Let's see, we heard from, heard from Sandra. This is, Sandy, this is Sandy, listens to the show, good friend. She and her husband were just down here a couple weeks ago, and I think I did a podcast about them in the last show. So I'm trying to get feedback about ultras in Michigan because I'm taking a trip up there, and I know I keep talking about this, but I'm very excited about it because that means not only is next year exciting, the potential for 2017 to be extremely exciting, and I like to have that kind of stuff in my life, you know, exciting stuff. So trying to get some feedback on some of the races up there. And so so they live up in the Rochester Hills area of Michigan. And Marisa lives in Ann Arbor, which isn't that far. And new listener to the show, is not that far from there. And then my friend Rob, that I talked about on the podcast down in Charlotte, his wife is from Michigan, which means her sister, the wife's sister, still lives up there. And would you believe they live in the Rochester Hills area? So I emailed Sandy to say, hey, you know, you don't have to know these people. And I gave her the names. She said she didn't know them. But I was fully expecting her to email me back and say, yeah, we do know them, because it just seems like Michigan, being a big state, looks like it's kind of a small world up there. So it's kind of weird that there's these weird coincidences with these people that I know in Michigan now are all in the same general area. So, yeah, a trip up there is a requirement, and that's what we're going to do. And we'll do that in 2017. If everything works out, the planets are in alignment, I'm not hurt, and I can do a race up there. So that's my plan, and I've talked about it plenty, but boy, that's exciting to think about that. Heard from Richard Yart from the Woodlands, Texas. We just kind of checked in about how cool Chick-fil-A has been down there to local law enforcement. And always good to hear from you, Richard. I hope that your running's going well, and I appreciate you checking in. Of course, it was kind of a solicited email. Also heard from Tim, and I have got a audio clip from him, which I'm going to try to see if I can figure out how to get this in the podcast. Stand by.
Hey, Dave, this is Tim Cleary. Just calling in to thank you again for your podcast. I just listened to the latest, 215, and it was interesting as you were going through your intro. You were talking about the subject you're going to talk about, and you're talking about the Rusty Beaver. And maybe it's my age, but I immediately went to where the individual that he talked about being in his mid-50s thought about. And I was trying to figure out how the heck you were going to weave that into your podcast. And when you did, you said, you know, he was in his late 50s, and yeah, that's where I am. His look was probably going to be the same one mine was going to be. I love the story. It was good. Yeah, that was a neat. So the Rusty Beaver, I'll have to try that. Hey, the podcast lately have been great. You know, your last one, congratulations on being world's greatest dad. I think I was in 1995. So it's a pleasure to see and hear somebody else that I listened to win that fine honor. Yeah, I'm sure it's well-deserved based on what you and your daughter did there. That's great to have a teenager say that to you. Again, thanks for the podcast. Your topics are always wonderful. The last week's one on Steve Jones, the runner that said, you know, I can't believe these all the people that are doing marathons, you know, unless you're really running fast, you know, the sub 230s or something, you're not a real marathoner. That's not the case. I'm just like you, I believe. Just seeing everybody out there working as hard as they can to do a marathon is what it's certainly what I think it's about, and it's great for everybody to see people working that hard. I mean, a marathon is not easy, and you don't get there and finish by just being once a week, once a month runner. I mean, you really have to work at it. So I don't think it's good for everybody to see all the people out there. And it kind of, you know, it's going to encourage their children and other people. And that's where we'll get the next set of runners, is that they'll be watching their parents. They'll be watching their friends go out and run. And that'll keep and sustain the running boom that's going on. So, hey, your podcasts are great. look forward to the next one. And it sounds like your training's starting off well, and I wish you the best on that. I'll send you my phone number. Feel free to call when you're doing your Mississippi run. I'll be doing a marathon here in Chattanooga that next day, so maybe you can call me and I can call you the next day. But anyway, have a great one. Cheers, Tim.
All right, so that right there is really the whole reason I do the show. Hold myself accountable, reach out to others, and I love emails like that or audio. You can do that. If you want to send me an audio clip, you can go to ashlanddave.podbean.com. Go to the far right of the screen. You'll see a little icon there where you can send me a voicemail, and I'll get that as an audio clip, and I'll put it in the show. If you're not cussing me out or anything like that, then I'll probably put it in the show. But if you're cussing me out, I'm definitely not going to put that in the show. I encourage compliments, discourage criticism, and Tim, you're right on time with all that, and I appreciate you taking the time. And I will end up down in Chattanooga one of these days doing a race because you've been a loyal listener to the show. And once again, like I was saying earlier, it pays to know people in different parts of the country, because then when you go do an event or a race or ultra or marathon, there's at least one person there that you can at least reach out to, meet up with, and, interact, however you choose to do that. Heard from Scott Johnson. He runs two podcasts. He's got one called The Computer Tutor, and then the other one's called Ultra Finishers. And he ran the Save the Daylight 24-hour race on Halloween, and he got his goal of 100 kilometers, which is awesome. He actually ended up with more than that since it was a loop course. He said, a few blisters along the way, walked funny for a few days. Now I'm making plans for my next big goal, 100-miler in 2016. He says, never would have thought I would be even entertaining that idea a few years ago when he was overweight and sedentary, and we are all a lot more capable than we think. And I agree with you, Scott, and I could really go off on a tangent there and talk about how I felt after I did my 100K, and I would love to really go out and do that and talk about myself a whole lot more, but I'm gonna limit it by saying I applaud your interest in the 100 miler because I'm envious of that. I'm going to try one at some point in time in the future. It's probably going to be when I turn 50, just as kind of a milestone effort thing. So my hat's off to you for trying that next year. And so I'm kind of curious which one you're going to do. So when you get a chance, let me know. And for the rest of you listeners out there, he's got two really cool separate podcasts. One is called Ultra Finishers, where he interviews first time finishers of ultra marathons. And then the other one is his business, which is called, The Computer Tutor out of Florida or whatever. And I'm sorry, Scott, I didn't get it exactly right. But if you search Computer Tutor Scott Johnson, I think you're going to find him. And he's got a podcast that comes out on Monday mornings about some more. It's not a technical podcast about computers, but it's straight talk, easy talk. And I've liked it ever since I've started listening to it, and I listen to it just about every week. So thanks, Scott, for checking in. I really do appreciate that, and congratulations on meeting your goal. I heard from Dr. Smitty, and he was just wishing me luck in Richmond. And he's been having some tough he's been injured, so he's out of running right now. And he did mention that athlinks.com will keep track of my race times, and if I open up a free account, it'll automatically add all your times. But not all the ultras show up, but it's pretty accurate. So I think I might try that, Greg, and I really do appreciate you sending me that information. He also congratulated. I had my 20th anniversary a couple weeks ago, which if you listened to the previous show, you heard me talk about the Jim Morrison Buffalo Bill combination guy that we met. So it looks like Greg's going to be out of commission for a little bit. I got another email from him here. I'll get to him in just a second. Get rid of that one. I heard from David Williams, and this is the Mechanicsville Dave. I've got two David Williams that listen to the show. One's Down Under Dave from New Zealand, and then or from Australia, and then the other is David Williams of Mechanicsville. And I'm going to just retell this quick story, and because this is how I got the name Ashland Dave, and it wasn't something that I did myself. David Williams and I used to run in the same training group, and to differentiate, and he went by Dave. So to differentiate between us, he was Mechanicsville Dave and I was Ashland Dave. And so that's how I became Ashland Dave. Anyway, he checked in. He ran with his daughter in the Richmond Half Marathon. They finished in 1:58.10, which is outstanding. He said he paced her. She tried to run a rabbit at the start halfway through the race. But there was a first half. She crushed it. And he wants to hit the brewery. So, yeah, me too, man. I'm going to keep your email up in the queue here because that way I'll respond to you again. And, yeah, let's go to Kotu. Last time, well, I won't tell that story, David. Last time we went to Kotu, you put your car in the ditch. But and you weren't even drunk. You showed up late and left early. And it was just kind of funny. The police showed up, and that's a whole separate story. Nobody got in trouble because I knew the police. And Dave wasn't even drunk. It wasn't even that kind of situation. It was it was pouring down rain. Heard from Alex Flores out of Arizona, and he said, "Dave, how's it going? Been a while since I emailed. Still listening. Two solid shows in a row. Good to see how motivated you are." And he's working on rekindling his motivation. And he just wanted to drop a line and wish me and my family a happy Thanksgiving. And I really do appreciate that, Alex, more than you know. And, yeah, I mean, it's good to, in some ways, it's good to hear that other people have motivation issues. I was really in a funk. And, boy, I'm out of it now, that's for sure. And I just almost can't get enough. You know, I would love to run more, but I just know my body will start breaking down if I did it too quick. So good to hear from you. I hope you rekindle that. Maybe you just need to sign up for a 100-miler, man. I mean, that's what you did last time. So maybe you just need to get something on the horizon there. Another one from Dr. Smitty. He and I exchange a lot of emails because we've become good friends in person and through email. He has started, looks like he says, "I'm finally starting to run again. I ran 2 miles each this week." He plans 3 runs of 2 miles, no pain, so it's a good sign. And, of course, happy Thanksgiving and all that. And same to you, Greg, and to everybody else out there. And, Greg, I'm glad to hear that you're able to run without any pain. That's kind of a big deal because that's like a big part of your life, man, big time. Greg's got a lot of talent, and I've always thought it was interesting that that we've become friends because I'm so slow and, you know, I want to walk most of the time and do all this, but I still love getting out there. And Greg doesn't hold that against me. Going way back, I'll just tell this quick story because the email bag section of the show always brings up new ways to go out on tangents. When I did my first 50-miler, it was a North Face Endurance Challenge up in Northern Virginia. Greg, I think, I'm not sure what mile mark he joined in with me for the duration of the race, but when we were doing these walks, he had a hard time keeping up with me because I was walking so fast, and he's a lot taller than me. His legs are longer, and we just kind of laughed about it a little bit. I don't know. We've known each other a long time now. It's been a lot of fun. I didn't really do that story justice, but Greg, you know, you remember that. You were there. So yeah, that's the email bag section of the show. Of course, if you want to reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com, that's how you get in the inner circle. And if you send me an email and you don't want me to talk about it on the podcast, then you got to tell me that because everything's kind of fair game. And like I said earlier, I accept compliments. I discourage criticism. I mean, I'll read it, just like I did with the humble pie. But, you know, we'll move on from all that. And I also want to say that Scott Johnson played a real big joke on me by sending me an email. But I figured it out. And so, Scott, yeah, you had me a little bit there. And my wife didn't like that too much. It's a good thing we don't live around each other because she didn't like that too much. But I kind of smoothed her over. So, yeah, everybody have a good Thanksgiving. Thanks for downloading the show, and I'll be back soon with another one, training update. Kind of had low mileage this week because of doing the out-of-town trip, so I'll be loading on next time. Always plenty to talk about when you're doing lots of running, and really appreciate you coming out and checking the show, downloading the show, and love to hear from you, ashlanddave@gmail.com. So, this is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. Reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week. Here you go, Scott.